Welcome to RVA Connected with Anna Sothen, the podcast that brings local communities and businesses closer together in Richmond, Virginia. Anna will guide you through the vibrant intersections of RVA's entrepreneurial spirit, community relationships, and the latest insights and strategies for your RVA business. Get ready to feel connected to the heartbeat of our city's small businesses. Here's Anna Sothen.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anna Sothen with RVA Connected, and I am so excited to be here this morning with my dear friend, Robert Youngblood, or I like to call you YB, and many people call you YB. So we met, you know, through the Chesterfield Chamber, I believe, right? It's been a couple years now, probably about 2 years, but I'm excited to have you on the podcast this morning because I feel like you have a lot to share with our audience. So introduce yourself to people.
Yes. Peace and blessings, everybody. My name is Rob YB Youngblood. I'm a native of the Bronx, New York. Grew up in a single parent home. My father was murdered when I was two. Now, I share that not to gain any sympathy from anyone that's listening, but to let folks know that I'm a real person, right? So, yes, we're in business. You know, we do sales, all these good things. But I think what's important is that people see me for me. I transitioned to Richmond, Virginia in 1996 to go to the greatest HBCU in the nation, Virginia Union University, and I'm the founder of the Collaboration Creates Currency movement, which will impact over 100,000 lives in 2024. So I'm glad to be here with you.
I love that. So when you and I first met, you were actually in a very different role, correct?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. And so tell us a little bit, because there's a little bit of a story behind that, right? So tell us how that all came to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I appreciate, you know, first of all, congratulations on having your podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
You are killing the game. Like you mentioned, we've known each other for quite some time. I remember I was working with, there's a couple of organizations that I was working with to get me into the chamber. The first one was an organization called Centaur College, which focused on career development, helping people get into careers, whether it's in health or skilled trades. And then I ended up transitioning into full-time business again, and then took on an opportunity to represent my girls' Christian school, which is called Grove Christian School. And so you and I met in between that time and began to build. And you know, I have been the benefactor of adversity. Right. And I say that in a positive way because I've had to overcome challenges in my life, which has helped me to meet new people, which has then helped me to learn, grow, and then go to the next level. And so when you and I met, I was in a Valley experience similar to where I'm at today. But I recognize that Valley experiences are not negative. They're actually very positive if you have the right mindset. And so I've developed the right mindset. And as a result of going through the Valley, I was able to connect with you and several others who have helped me to go to the next level in my life and in my business.
Well, I think that's super important. I would love to chat about that piece right there specifically, because I'm a firm believer that nothing in life is a failure as long as you can take away three things. So you experience something, maybe not as desirable, what I like to say, in alignment with who I am. But as long as I can think, well, what did I learn? What will I never do again? And then what will I implement going forward? I don't see any adversity or challenge or something that's not in alignment as being a failure. And so you have said that, right? And mindset, I believe, is a total game changer, because you can sit in that valley and you can play, and I'm going to use this word, and this will probably trigger some individuals, and I don't mean for it to, you can play victim, correct? Or you can choose to rise above it and step into your power and say, well, this is what I'm going to do going forward. And you've done that several times in your lifetime, correct?
Yeah.
I'm a little boy.
Yeah, absolutely. So even in talking about and starting off the conversation with my adversity of losing my father, you know, so being a fatherless child, growing up in a single parent home, living in the Bronx, New York, doing a crack epidemic, I mean, just all this negative. But here's what I want most people to take away from any adversity that you go through. Number one, adversity is an asset, right? If you know how to transform that into a story that allows for you to impact the lives of other people. So yeah, I could walk around, woe is me, I don't have a father, let me do something negative. Or I could say, I don't have a father, let me go find people who have a similar struggle but have not yet accomplished what I've accomplished, and let me show them how to get from where they are to where they want to go. And so you're right, mindset is a critical component to success. Failure, a lot of people think success and failure are on the opposite sides of the same coin, and they're not,
Or not.
right? They're not. So that the opposite of success is not failure. It's actually quit, right? It's actually quit. So failure is a prerequisite for success. So it's kind of like, for those of you who ever driven on I-95 and on the East Coast, for those of you on the East Coast, you cannot get to New York without driving through New Jersey. Now, some people might be smart and say, oh, yes, I can go through Pennsylvania. Yeah, but then you won't be driving on 95 anymore, right? So you'll be on a different path. And so going through adversity or going through failure is required, because in order for you to understand success, you have to overcome failure. And so, and then failure is not really failure unless you give up on your journey. It's a lesson that you learn. And so when you put all those lessons together, you just put yourself in a position to do things more intelligently. And so mindset is a critical component. There's two other parts of a methodology, excuse me, of a framework that I teach outside of mindset. There's methodology, right? So it's like your how to. And so for many people, they haven't learned certain how to's. And so they have the limited mindset or limited knowledge, and it's going to get them certain results. And so in order for you to change your methodology, you got to get around people who are doing things differently, right? And then the last part of the framework, which is the MMD framework I'm speaking about, Anna, is discipline, right? It's the ability to continue to practice your craft until you become a master at it, right? I was just reading an article, and I saw a video on the same thing as well. LinkedIn put out these top 10 skills that you need in the workplace now, right? And the article was in Forbes, and it talked about that these skills are actually not something you need to go to school for, which now it captures people's attention. And the very first one was your communication skills, right? So your ability to communicate. Well, if you're unable to communicate, it's going to be very difficult to attract opportunities, but you got to develop the mindset first. Then you got to learn how to communicate, and then you have to practice communicating, and that will help you to change your situation.
I love that. So let's go back to the methodology point that you just made. So you and I met, well, we got a little bit more involved when we did the LinkedIn challenge, right? So people refer to you as the LinkedIn locksmith. So share with individuals how you've used LinkedIn as part of your methodology to get your message out there and to build and grow your business.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I actually started working with LinkedIn, or using LinkedIn as a tool, in 2007. I was working with a nonprofit organization, and I was actually their outward-facing representative. I was in the community building relationships, and I also had a direct sales business that I was building at the same time. So I was always keeping my eyes open for prospects. And so as I began to master using LinkedIn, I was actually in a position where I got laid off from a nonprofit position, and I ended up turning that knowledge of using LinkedIn into a business. I remember the very first person that approached me, she needed help with getting a new job, and she asked me if I could help her use LinkedIn to find her next employment opportunity. And I said, absolutely. When she asked me how much I charge, I told her, and she ended up paying me double, because she had brought her boyfriend to sit in on the meeting that she and I was having. And then I knew I had something on my hands. But in 2016, I began to use the platform as a revenue generation tool, or at least I started teaching people how to generate revenue from the tool. Because most people still see LinkedIn as a platform just to get a job. And it's not just that anymore. I mean, it started out that way. It started out as an opportunity for people to network with recruiters to find their next career opportunity. But because it has evolved into a marketplace, now those who have services or products that a particular company or buyer could benefit from, it makes sense to be on the platform so that you can communicate the value. And so the how-to for that I've learned and that I teach is number one, recognizing that you as an individual are a brand, right? So you're a brand. Like what you come with a message, or you come with a story, and that story is going to impact a specific person, right? And so we have to be mindful that, okay, I'm a brand. I bring a certain promise to the marketplace, hopefully. I bring a certain result to the marketplace. And now my goal is to find people who want that result, whether it's an employer who's looking for your specific skill set to help them go to the next level, or a client who's looking to fill a certain gap that your gift or your skill can fill. And so now, I invest a lot of time leveraging LinkedIn, not only to grow my personal and professional brand, but to teach others how to do the same thing.
And I love that. So now let's talk a little bit about the discipline piece, because oftentimes, and I've heard, lots of different sayings, discipline is the is what kicks in after motivation, goes away, and things of that nature. So to share with us what your discipline practice is, if you have one, or what that looks like, and how it can be uncomfortable, right? When the day that you wake up in the morning, you're like, I just don't want to do this. I
Right,
don't,
right, right.
right?
Yeah, discipline is remembering your why and understanding that if you don't do the work, it's not going to get done, at least by you. Somebody else may do it, but it may not get done by you. And so there's three main powers that I focus on every single day that helps me to become more disciplined in my life. Number one is the power of the spoken word. Like, I understand that words are seeds, that whenever we speak certain words, they're going to become implanted in our minds, right? Because if you think about having an apple seed, if you take an apple seed and you put it in the ground, what does it produce? Now, immediately people say apples, but it doesn't produce apples right away, right? If you put an apple seed in the ground, it's not going to automatically produce an apple. As a matter of fact, it's going to take some time before you even see any fruit. But what that seed is going to produce is a tree that then produces fruit. And once that tree is established, then even if you pluck all the apples off, it doesn't destroy the tree. So the first piece of discipline that I focus on and I teach my clients is the power of the spoken word. So if we understand that our mind is like a garden that we have to till, or we have to, we have to work on, that by saying positive words, it helps to strengthen our mind. The opposite is also true. Right. If we say negative words, then we're going to get the, they're going to destroy the garden. And now here's what's even more crazy. Some people might say, well, what if I don't say anything at all? Well, have you ever seen a plot of land that's not worked on? It automatically produces weeds, and
Right.
the weeds choke out the grass, and now you just have all this brown land, right? So it really requires discipline to speak affirmations, or to speak positively, to be mindful of the words that come out of your mouth, because what you say is essentially what you get. Now, some people might say, well, what if I say I'm a millionaire? Does that mean I'm gonna get a million? Well, if you put the work in, right? So
Yeah.
that's where the discipline comes from, right? So the first power is the power of the spoken word. The second power is the power of unity, right? The power of unity. So being able to connect and collaborate with other people who have either done or are doing what you're striving to do, right?
Correct.
And that power is more, is like a mastermind principle, right? You get more out of being able to connect with other people or collaborate with other people than you would by operating in the solo. So that's another discipline that I have. I'm always looking for ways to collaborate or to connect or to be unified with other people, because where two or more are gathered, that's where I learned that's where the power is, right?
That's
And
right.
then the third is the power of submission. Right now, for some people, that word submission is a dirty word, right? It's a cuss word. You talk about trigger, right? That might trigger some people. What you mean submission? I'm not in submission to nobody. But that's probably why you're in the situation that you're in, because you're not in submission to anybody. And all submission means that you're under the mission. First of all, do you have a mission? And if not, whose mission are you connected to? Right? So when you think about the power of submission, what that's saying is that you've humbled yourself enough to approach a system or approach an individual that can then teach you how to get from where you are to where you want to go. So yes, submission could be negative, right? I mean, well, husbands, wives be in submission to your husbands. Well, some people take that negative, right? Because at the end of the day, if the husband is the head, that means he gets struck first by lightning. Some people catch that under red light, right? But the point I'm making is, If I am not where I want to be, then submitting to a coach or submitting to a system or even submitting to a book, right? Some people might not understand this, but like I had a young lady reach out to me. She said something about she needs some help with brainstorming. So I said, well, who are you looking for to help you? And her response was, well, I don't have any money to pay a person to help me. And so typically I go in and I'm like, what do you mean you don't have any money? I just paused, took my time, and I asked her a very important question. I said, do you have a library card? Because library card is free.
Right.
And if she says yes, then the next suggestion that I'm going to give her is you need to go take out a copy of The Magic of Thinking Big by David Schwartz, right? Because if you're not, if you don't have the resources to invest in someone showing you how to do what you need to do, then you need to tap into a book that's going to teach you. Now, here's the challenge, and this is where discipline comes in. And here's where submission comes in. Are you willing to follow through on that piece of advice to learn what that book has been teaching people for years?
Right.
And if the answer is no, then you're going to stay in the place that you've always been. And you're going to, once again, victim, right? So you're going to be like, oh, well, people are not helping me. No, you're not helping yourself.
Right.
So if you don't have the money to pay somebody who can literally give you the answer that you need based on what they've done, then go to the library. Go find this book, The Magic of Thinking Big. That's one of the first books that I recommend to people, especially if they're like, I don't really have the money to invest, YB. No problem. I love you. I'm going to give you some wisdom. If you get this book and you read it, it's going to put you on the path that you need to go down. Next book that I tell people to read is Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, I love that
one. Hill, right?
Yep.
Why? Because these are resources, these are tools, and all you need is one idea.
Yep.
But because that's mindset, but you also need the discipline to execute that idea, and you'll get to a level of success. Now, I've never heard of a baby coming out the womb walking or running, so neither will you once you get to a place where you start to focus on your development. You're going to stumble, you're going to fall, but eventually you'll get up, you're going to walk. You're going to run, and then prayerfully you'll be able to fly. Not so much like Superman, but you might just plane and go from point A to point B, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's where the collaboration part comes in. When you can show, and I'll use these words and terms interchangeably, God or the universe, that you are willing to put forth the effort of, okay, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. It's a choice. At this moment, I'm choosing not to pay for a coach. Right. And so, okay, but YB was able to give me. So I'm going to go read this book, The Magic of Thinking Big. And so you're putting it out into the universe. Hey, I'm ready. I'm open. And then what's going to happen is all of these individuals or circumstances are going to start to come to you because you've opened the energy field to say, hey, I'm ready. And so that next level, whatever that next level for you is, will start to appear. Right. You may go to an event and you meet somebody who is, we'll just say this, who's just started out coaching and says, hey, I need a client and I need a practice. Would you be willing to be my, you know, my practice or my beta or whatever?
Yeah.
What a wonderful opportunity. That would have never happened if that person, and this is not that it actually did happen, but I've seen it happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
If that person hadn't picked up the book, started reading it, started putting it out there that this is, I'm looking to grow and I'm looking to expand. And then that person comes into their space. That they never would have met otherwise, or they may have gone to that exact same event and they never would have connected. Right?
Right.
So it's just, it's beautiful how those things happen.
Yeah.
And I think that when we are more open to it, the more they will occur. I've called them serendipitous moments.
Yeah.
I've called them, somebody shared with me God winks, and I
God
really
winks,
like that.
Yeah. God winks, yeah.
And I have every single day, I've made it a practice now, where I will come and I will write down when I've had a God wink. And it can be something from as silly as, oh, I really want tomatoes. And then somebody comes and talks to me about tomato sauce, right?
Yeah.
You would think, well, like, what does that have to do with anything? But that's just God in the universe saying, hey, you're on the right path. Keep doing what you're doing, right?
Yeah, keep going.
And I love that. So tell us a little bit about, before we finish here, I wanted to talk about collaboration creates currency, right? So you wrote a book, which I have, and I love it. I even had my son read it to me when I couldn't, right? Because he's in the car. Share with us a little bit what that movement is, and how you want to impact, worldwide, but especially our community here in Richmond.
Yeah, so let me start with 2015. I was dealing with a mental health crisis. I was on my way to taking myself out of here. And I say that because, you know, I realized that there are people who are struggling big time, and they struggle to a, like, they're on level nine. And if there's one more thing happens, they're like, I'm out of here. And so I want to relate to those people who may be listening, especially men between the ages of 35 and 50, because that's where, you know, there's a lot of men who are taking themselves out. You know, because there's a high level of stress, a high level of loneliness, you know, and a lot of people might say, well, how would, you know, why would you feel that way? Don't you have a family? Don't you have this? But there's a, it's just like our body gets sick, our mind gets sick. And so I was sick. I was sick and I was ready to take myself out of here. But I started to go through the therapy process, right? You know, I sought out therapy and worked with a therapist, and I was looking for motivation. And I went on YouTube and I found Eric Thomas, E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher, who's considered the number one motivational speaker in the world. And as I began to consume his content, I learned two valuable lessons that he taught. Number one, let me start here. So just for you, for those of you who don't know who Eric Thomas is. So Eric Thomas, once again, number one motivational speaker in the world, but he didn't start out that way. This guy was born to a teenage mother in Chicago, right? He didn't know who his father was, didn't meet his father until he was 30, right? His mom kept it from him who his real daddy was. And when he found out who his real daddy was, he became defiant. He left home. He was homeless, lived in abandoned buildings, ate out of trash cans, dropped out of high school until he had one connection lead him to the road that he's on now. And so the two biggest lessons that I gathered from him, which prompted me to put this movement together, was that he became successful because of the relationships that he built that produced collaboration and his relationship with the creator or God, right? And those two things helped him to become the powerhouse that he is. So I took that and I said, okay, how can I impact the world through collaboration? Because I myself have had not only adversity, but I've had powerful, positive situations where I was able to collaborate. One example in particular is a guy by the name of Marshall Fox, who was a struggling insurance salesman when we met. We actually connected in Eric Thomas's community. And he approached me about doing my YB Connects logo. YB Connects was a business that was developed as a result of me being laid off, right? So I had adversity, and then I had it turn into an asset. And so he did this logo for me. I took that logo. I used my gift of promoting and connecting to share that logo with my network. And in 90 days, he attracted 40 new clients, right? So that was the beginning of the Collaboration Creates Currency movement, which this is based on my second book. I'm a two-time author. It's based on my second book, which is called Collaboration Creates Currency, The Blueprint for Visibility, Credibility, and Profitability, right? And so Marshall, myself, Deborah Delgado, Sherrod Ledette, S. Elliott Brooks III, we all collaborated. These were my clients that I had worked with, and we shared our story about how collaboration created currency for us. The book dropped in 2022, but in 2023, literally 1,000 copies sold direct. So which means that these lives were touched. And so at the end of the year, I was inspired. The Holy Spirit hit me up and said, okay, listen, next year, 100,000 lives. I was thinking 10, and he was like, nah, add another zero. And so now the Collaboration Creates Currency movement is really focusing on breaking cycles of poverty and building wealth within individuals, one connection at a time, right? And when we talk about breaking cycles of poverty, it's not just monetary poverty, right? It's mindset, right? If you got the wrong mindset, you're operating in poverty, right? It's relationship poverty, right? You can have all the connections, but you're still lonely. How do we break that, right? How do we build wealth? Wealth is not just money. Currency is not just money, right? So being in a position where doing stuff like this, like so me collaborating with you on your platform, there are going to be people that are going to hear this message and they're going to be inspired and they're going to want to know, how can I create currency through collaboration? And that will count as a life being impacted. And so now we're pushing the book. I'm pushing my speaking, so keeping my eyes open for speaking opportunities. You've brought me in to your network to speak, which I truly appreciate. Being able to coach more people, I launched a coaching community where I'm working with entrepreneurs, speakers, and authors. And then, as recently as maybe last week, I had an epiphany that the collaboration creates currency movement must encompass job seekers. Right. At first, I was all about focus on revenue generators, but what I realized was that there's a part of my story that people can benefit from, and they don't need to be entrepreneurs. They're
Right.
people who've been laid off. They're people that are struck. They're in jobs that they hate, and I need to be in a position to empower those people as well. Why? Because I was laid off 3 times in an 8 month period back in 2012. Right? I suffer from being in positions feeling like I was a eagle in a Tweety bird cage, and like feeling like I don't really need to be here, but just I have to do it because I got to take care of my family.
Right.
So there's a much more powerful message that I need to be bringing into the marketplace, and so I'll be looking to connect with revenue generators as well as job seekers so that we can break the cycle of poverty and build wealth one connection at a time.
I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again, YB, for being here, the founder of the Collaboration Creates a Currency Movement. If any of this spoke to you, and it definitely spoke to me, I love every time I have a conversation with my YB because I always learn something new. And I am a firm believer. I mean, he's connected me to individuals that I never would have been connected to. And that really truly is. If you go out and you have a heart to serve and say, who can I help today? It will be returned to you tenfold. I firmly believe that. So, thank you again for being here. Thank you for being a guest. Thank you for sharing your message. Thank you for sharing your heart, more importantly, because I truly believe every time you speak, you can feel the passion of wanting to help other individuals. It was an honor to have you on my podcast. And until we see each other again, or until we're back on this platform and I bring to you another amazing guest, we will see each other next time. And remember, my friends, stay fluid. I'm always cheering for you.